begin changing the way that I record. And so I've been sending out the to some that have requested them the sermons through an email system. I haven't told Shelly, but she's going to start downloading them, and she already puts them on the website. And so the lessons can be found on the JasperCountyChurchOfChrist.com website. And we're just going to kind of modify the way that we're going about it. And so you can tell others about the website and let them know that it's there, and kind of keep up with the things that are going on. And so, but I'll inform Shelly of that when I send you home with the information. One of the things about Shelly is I know that she's always excited to do whatever. You know, it's amazing. We were talking to Mary on the phone, I think yesterday, and she kind of gets discouraged because there's a lot she can't do. But it's kind of exciting to see. Shelly misses an awful lot of services, and she has been sick an awful lot. But she does a lot. And Mary does some things behind the scenes that most of us don't even know about. And so you and I, we can get out and we can do other kinds of things. But when we have things that people like that can do, we need to let them be a part. Because unless we have involvement, there's no ownership. Okay? And we all need ownership in the work of the church, because that is an encouragement to us. I love being involved. And it's kind of like last evening, we came together to put stoves, straighten the stoves up out here. And we just had a big party. We had a great time. We didn't have any chocolate.
But it wasn't a party.
No, it wasn't really a party. But we sure had fun. We had a great time. But at any rate, everybody can be involved, and we need to be involved, because that's where the encouragement is. I want us all to be encouraged. If we look at the text for the lesson today, it's in Romans chapter 8. And I want to look at this because I guess me and Bob had a discussion, and we've been having some great discussions on some things, and I thought this would really help. But it's also, to me, it's very important that we understand the concept of living the Christian life. I really think that in the world that we live in, the idea of living the Christian life is kind of foreign from what the Bible teaches. And so what I want to do is help us to understand that God has some direction in how we are to live a life for Him. And what is so great about that is when we are actually living a life for God. And that, when I say that, I mean the way He says. Okay? Because there's people that believe that if they would kill you, they would be living for God. Okay? And even in the New Testament times, we see that Stephen was killed, and he was killed in the name of God. And that was wrong. And so what we want to do is kind of understand what living the life actually is in God's sight. Now, a scary thing that I find in that Romans chapter 8, especially that verse 1, it kind of sums up a lot of it. And notice what it says in that verse. Romans chapter 8. In verse 1 it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, defining a few terms, condemnation, we know what it means to be condemned. We're all here because we want to go to heaven, right? And we know that there's one of two options. One is to go to heaven. And that is a wonderful thing. Now, we all want to go. We recognize that it's a great place. Not today, right? Okay, we still got things we want to do. We want to make it last as long as possible, don't we, Kenneth? We want it to, we may have ups and downs and struggles, but we don't want to go. We know it's good. We don't want to go right now. That's one option. The other is what is spoken of here in this context is condemnation. Now, condemnation is being condemned to an eternal hell. And so, we don't like to talk about it. I don't like to preach about it. I don't like to discuss it. But it is a reality of eternity. So we're going to each go to one place or the other. Now, in this passage, it says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, we recognize that being in Christ Jesus is where all spiritual blessings are. In Ephesians 1 verse 3. Okay? Salvation is the most important one. Forgiveness of sins, where the mercy of God and grace of God and answered prayer and so many wonderful things. The ability to go into the throne room of God and petition Him. We've got to be in Christ to have those spiritual blessings. But then there's kind of a caveat to that. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because God is actually, He goes a little bit further. And this is what we really need to recognize as we look at the crux of the matter here. All right? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus if they walk in the Spirit. Those in Christ Jesus who walk in the flesh, there's condemnation. And so when we stop to think about this, living the life, guys, we need to understand, just being a Christian, it's not enough. We need to be a Christian indeed. Our deeds need to be involved with what God says. We need to just live our everyday life. You know, the way I treat my wife is part of my service to God. If I don't treat her right, you know who I'm doing that to? I'm doing it to God. You know, if I don't treat you nice, if I don't do the things that I can to help others, if I don't have a proper language that is pleasing to God, if I don't do the things on an everyday basis that God expects, there's a problem. And so living the life is so very important. I can't just be a Christian in name. I have to be a Christian indeed. And that's what we need to recognize here. And so as we look at this, we want to notice some things as we think about this. Now, a lot of times I hear this idea of how terrible of a sinner. And I have religious people telling me how terrible they sin over and over and over again. They just keep on. And I've been around them, and sometimes it doesn't even seem like they're trying to change. Now, I'm not judging hearts. I'm just looking at the appearances. My God is the judge. I'm not the judge. But I'm concerned. Because if we just let it go and do what we've always done that's not pleasing to God, that's walking after the flesh, as I recognize these passages. Now, let's go back a page in Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Because here we recognize that sin is what causes condemnation or death. Okay? Spiritual death. And so, as we look at this concept about sin, this is what God says in verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? So, shall we just keep on doing it? It's no good problem, because God is going to forgive me. Jesus died so I could be forgiven. Just keep it up. Go live as the way I please. And it seems that's... He's answering this question. He's getting ready to. He's going to answer that idea of, oh, I'm just a terrible sinner and I sin over and over and over every day, and so therefore God's going to forgive me and I don't have to worry about it. So shall we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? God answers that. God forbid. And then He expounds on it. He says, How can we that are dead to sin live any longer there? How can we just keep doing it? When I realize that my sin is spitting in the face of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying I'll never sin, because I know I will, and I know I do. But guys, I just can't. I've got to do my best to stop. And so, see, this is what we need to recognize, you know, living in the Spirit. And that's what the whole thing is talking about. We need to recognize that as a Christian, we must change. in verse 16 of that same chapter, notice what God says. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." So let's stop and think about that for just a minute. Let's say that I determined that I'm going to become a Christian. But I continue to serve Satan. Got a good show. You know, we talked about the Pharisees and the scribes this morning in our Bible class. They put on a good show, didn't they? And what did God call them? Called them hypocrites. And even says that when they compass sea and land to make a proselyte, they make him twofold more a child of hell than themselves. That's scary, okay? Because we recognize that, you know, here these were very religious people, but they weren't living the life, okay? They were doing things to be seen, but they would say and do different, okay? Say one thing, do something different. And so we recognize that these individuals, they were serving sin. They were serving Satan. And the thing is, when you're serving a master, you're their servant. To whoever you obey. And so we see and recognize that God is just saying that we need to be careful who our master is. Quite frankly, when you stop and think about Satan and the problems that come with living for Satan, I don't want that. You know, I've seen so many people's lives and the struggles and the problems that there are with not doing what God says. And I see the pain that people, they go through, and I see the pain that those around them go through. And I'm thinking, I don't want to serve somebody like that. You know, and then we think of the pleasures of sin for a season that Moses wasn't willing to give in to in Hebrews chapter 4 and going back to Exodus. And we recognize that, you know, sin is really appealing. And it looks a lot of fun. And a lot of times, sin is fun. You know, probably all the time. Okay? But then you got to pay the piper. And I think that's what we don't recognize about sin, guys. It hurts our life. Sin is fun for a time. But then it comes along and we've got to pay the consequences for that sin. And God is saying, look, you don't want to do that. We don't want to suffer that punishment that comes with it. And the world is suffering because of sin. Guys, you and I need to live the life. We, you know, in the Bible class, I asked everybody how many daily Bible readers we had. And you know what? It was almost 100%. I think that's amazing. And it should be that way. Because, you see, when we read the Bible, we recognize what it is that God wants us to do. And how He wants us to live. That's where the knowledge comes from, to see, well, what is it to walk in the Spirit? Well, that's what it's all about. You know, we need to recognize the pull of the world that's around us. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Because we need to recognize that when we're striving to live the life, that temptation to live like everybody else is a real big drawing card. And it's appealing. And it's something that we desire and we'd like to have. Because being different from the crowd, oh, we don't want to be different because people are looking at us kind of funny if we're different. All right? And so in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." That's who Satan is. Now, Satan wants your soul. He doesn't want you in heaven. He knows he's going to be in hell for an eternity in the bottomless pit. And he's doing his best to take everybody he can with him. And so God is saying, be sober. In other words, be level-headed and clear-thinking about what's going on. Not only being level-headed and clear-thinking, but you got to be vigilant. You really got to stay on your toes. You got to be watching, because any time the enemy may come out from behind the shadows and appear and sneak up on you. You can't do that. You got to remember that Satan's always there, and he's willing to trick you and do his best to convince you to do the things that are wrong and to help you to think that, I don't really need to do that. I can live the way I please. And in fact, this little thing, God won't care about. God does care. God wants us to have a good life. And He wants us to go to heaven. In verse 9, God says, whom resist? In other words, the devil. Okay? Resist the devil. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, a lot of times we think that we're a lone ranger and we're the only one that's got such and such a problems. We're the only one that deals with such and such a temptation. What's kind of nice is the more, you know, as a family we get to know one another and we realize that we're all in this together, you know. There's none of us are an island. And the struggles that I have are the struggles that you have. And so, you know, we can share about our struggles together and gain strength from one another, can't we? Okay? And so we need to recognize that we together can resist Satan. And we need that togetherness. And that's an important part of the assembly. You know, I don't like the thought of going very long without some good fellowship where I can gain encouragement and try to do a better job and gain the strength to do it. Because it's hard, you know. We go out in the world and we know we've all been in the workforce and we've seen the trash that's around us. And we've seen the way people act and the things that they say and not real appealing. And it can desensitize us to sin. And after a while it doesn't seem so bad to be like the world. That's why I need you to give me strength. I need you to set a good example, to give me strength to go forward and do the right thing. We need togetherness. I don't ever want to miss an assembly because I need that strength. And I like the time that we have throughout the week, you know. I was disappointed Tim called and texted and I don't know where I was. But I didn't get the text until later, and he was already busted his head by then. But you know, we have good times together throughout the week, and I like to be able to get together because I like that encouragement. But guys, you got to resist Satan, and you've got to do it steadfastly in the faith. That means steadfast is mean you keep going and you dig your heels in. I'm going to live for God. That's the whole point. That's the thing. And that's what we need to take in mind. But we've got to do it in the faith. Now, in the faith simply means that in the system that God has given us in the New Testament. We need that system, guys. We can put our own system in place. Is that going to get it? We better not be working our own system. And that's not going to work. Because we can't resist Satan steadfast in the faith. We need to do it. Okay, so now I want to go to Galatians. Now, Galatians is one of those, in chapter 5, it's one of those real negative passages. God put it there. I don't think we should ignore it. I think we should teach it so we can understand some of the things that God says that we're to stay away from. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says this. Now the works of the flesh. Now remember back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, now the flesh is just simply weighing that we're not walking the way God says. The Spirit is the way God tells us to walk. Right? So let's see some of the examples of fleshly walking. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, watch this, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Does that make that passage in Romans 8 make a little bit more sense? Okay. If I choose to go ahead and walk this way, I might think I'm going to heaven, but I'm fooling myself. So that's pretty serious, okay? I don't want to fool myself in this life, because when the judgment day comes, I can't say, oh, Jesus, give me a second, and we'll go back and fix it. Because it don't work that way. Okay? So now, as we break this down a little bit, I want to notice this. And I really think that we need some proper plain teaching on some of these things, because the world we live in just doesn't see anything wrong with these things. In verse 19, we see these sins mentioned, and it seems kind of like these are categories. The first one is sins involving sex, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. I don't know if we understand a lot of the words in the Bible, especially some of these. We don't know what they mean. I mean, we can much less pronounce them, you know. Do we know how to pronounce all of them? Kind of tough. But adultery is intimate relations between of a married person with somebody else other than their spouse. There's no place for that. And God says if somebody does that, they're not going to heaven. Okay? Fornication is intimate relations between two people that aren't married. You know, nowadays it's just normal, just live together. You know, they got fancy terms for it nowadays to make it look nice, you know. But it's still ugly sin. It's fornication. It's sexual perversion. Guys, young people, listen. You wait till marriage for intimate relations. If you don't, God calls it fornication. It's sin. It's ugly. And it's got consequences. Uncleanness and lasciviousness has to do with unclean sexual acts and lascivious or lewd or lustful behavior. There's a lot of things in the sexual realm that promote lust. Okay? Where we think about the opposite sex, or in this world, somebody of the same sex, in a desirous way. And there are actions that we can get involved in, or things that we can get involved in, that promote those thoughts. God says it's sin. Okay? Guys, let's use wisdom. Think the way God does. The next one is, in verse 20, sins against God. Let's look at some of these. Idolatry, which is worshiping something besides God. Sorcery or witchcraft. In other words, when we're trying to... we've got individuals that have... Sorcery is a better term because it involves both male and female. Witchcraft, a witch is female. Okay? And so... this was translated a long time ago, but it's dealing with sorcery, the magic arts, right? And when we put our faith in something like that instead of God, that sins against God. And so we recognize that we must make sure that we do not do that. The hatred and seditions emulations, these are things that they're against God and they're against others. Okay, and so then in verse, other than that, it continues, the wrath, the strife, seditions, heresies is false teaching. False teaching. You mean if I teach something that's contrary to what God says, it's sin? It's what God says. What's the end if I teach things that contrary to what God says? I won't inherit heaven. I think we want to go to heaven, right? We're going to have to go back to the Bible and make sure that we do it the way God says. And so these are all very, very important. Then there's envyings. You know, if I envy you for something that you have or something blessing in your life that I don't have, that's sin. Whatever happened to rejoice with them that do rejoice. Man, if you get something I don't have, I'm happy for you. I'm going to try to always be that way. I think all of us get wonderful blessings. And so it continues that the drunkenness and revelings. You know, the party life. As a Christian, I party. But I don't have any regrets the next day. And I'll guarantee you, there's no alcohol involved in my parties. Hopefully there's chocolate. But there's good fellowship and good fun. And it's a great time. But this attitude of, oh, it's all okay, it's not the Bible, and it doesn't say that. And so we need to remember that these are sins that are against God, and they are not living the life. We need to recognize these things. Now, we need to recognize that when we're involved in these things, it will cause us to be lost. None of us want to be lost. Okay, now, let me say this. I know I've dealt with the negative part this morning. But I'm going to deal with the positive part this afternoon. And I want us to see the realities of the joys of living for God. You know, we live in a world where all these sins are whitewashed and they're made to look appealing and good and proper and fun. And yeah, sin is fun. But it's a fleeting fun. And so much of sin, we don't just have the short-term punishment, but there's a lot of things about our sins that will follow us all of our life. And so I realize that this morning we dealt with a lot of negative stuff. And we need to understand that this is part of living the life. But this afternoon, we're going to deal with the good, positive, exciting, fun stuff. And so it's not enough, guys, to just stop sinning or do your best, because we're not going to make it to where we never sin. That's just the bad stuff we get rid of. What we put in its place is where it really gets good and exciting. And it blesses our life in so many ways. The love and the fellowship that we have is just amazing. But I can't have it unless I'm living the positive things in my life. Now, God does not want us to be lost. Satan, he wants your soul. Jesus came to this earth, and he lived a sinless life. And as a perfect sacrifice, he shed his blood on the cross. He left a message for you and me, and it's called the New Testament. In that message, he told us of everything that God has done so that we could be saved and go to heaven. But you see, he also told us in that message everything that you and I need to do to go to heaven. See, there's God's part and there's our part. Okay, so God's already done his. He's provided for his share. Now it's our part to fill in the other part. And so we want to live the life, but we also want to make sure that we recognize that we need to be in Jesus before living the life will do us any good. Okay, because you and I are guilty of sin. We need the forgiveness of sin. Jesus provided that, and he showed us how to do our part of that. And he says that that we've got to have a faith in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He tells us how to get faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love to see everybody reading their Bible every day. Okay? So it's, that's where faith comes, and that's how we grow. It's challenging, but it's how we grow. All right? We recognize that Jesus said, I tell you no, but except you repent, you're going to all likewise perish. Repent means I'm changing. Okay, I read it and I say, uh-oh, I messed up. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. and other things. Those are just the bad things we get in. That's not the good things we add. And so if we're not doing the good things, we've got to add them too. And that's this afternoon. But that's repentance. And if you don't repent, Jesus said you're going to be condemned. But he also must confess that Christ is the Son of God in Romans 10 and verse 9. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has the right to get into your face and say, this is what you need to do. And when you confess that he is the Lord, you're acknowledging that he's got the right to tell you what to do. And if you don't do that, you're not going to heaven according to Jesus. But he also says that we need to be baptized in water for remission of sin. Now, there's a lot of baptisms in the religious world. I've had a lot of religious people argue with me and say baptism's not important. If that's the case, why did Jesus say he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Why did Jesus say through Peter, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins? You see, Jesus is pretty clear. We just need to read it. And then we need to follow it. See, that's the beginning of our living the life. But then we rise up out of that water. And we go forward. We get rid of the bad stuff. And we add the good stuff. That's this afternoon. And when we put those good things into our lives, doing our best with everyone's help and God's help to get rid of the bad stuff, makes a good life. See, Jesus provided. Are you willing to walk it? The answer is for you. If there's anyone here today that needs to respond to the invitation, I ask that you please do it now while we stand and sing.